Good morning to you all, and welcome to our service of Choral Matins on this Sunday as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Welcome to all of those of you who are gathered with us from the safety of home, who are worshiping with our live stream, and to the few of us who are gathered here in the body of the church. It's wonderful for us all to be able to worship together at this time. In this season of Epiphany, this season of light, this season of awareness and awakening, the church celebrates the manifestation, the showing forth of God's eternal glory in the only begotten Son of God. The Lord's baptism is essential to this awakening and to this knowledge, for we see in his baptism the activity of God the Holy Trinity. The Son is there in the waters of the river, much like the activity of God at the very beginning of creation, hovering over the face of the deep, breathing life and setting creation free. And there with the Son is the descent of the Spirit in the form of a dove. And then that divine voice of affirmation, "You are my Son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." Intertwined with that Trinitarian life, we are witnesses to a vision of the very nature of God, the Holy One, God of God, light of light, stoops down once again, as he did in the incarnation, but this time into the murky Jordan waters. He is washed and he is raised up, all of which a sign of his utter solidarity with us, God with us, Emmanuel. And that's the truth of his love. The simple fact of the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ is this: John baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance, of turning around, of going in a whole new direction. This washing marked the desire in each person who underwent it, a new and a cleaner way of life. But the words of this baptism are hardly out of John's mouth before the one of whom he spoke came forward. And notice what happens in Luke's version of the story. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove." There is no announcement of his presence. John doesn't even seem to know that he's there. Jesus just steps out of the crowd and seemingly at the end of the line. Was the sinless one to stoop as well beneath the hand of John in this conscience-stricken crowd? What was this? The answer to the puzzle is actually very simple and very wonderful. It is at the heart of the Christian message. He presented himself for the same baptism with all the complications of human society, all the joys and sorrows, all the pains and insults we hurl at one another. A few years ago, I did a very stupid thing. It's not the first time, but this one stands out on this occasion. And I'm embarrassed almost to even tell you this story in front of Jillian, who is a very accomplished sailor. But on a sailing trip in Lake Ontario, we dropped anchor in what were very calm waters. We threw out the lifelines with the buoys attached, and I decided to jump off the boat as I had done many times before. It was a hot and a calm day. But this time I swam out a little further than usual. And the trouble was, we were not far from the mouth of the Niagara River, and so we were in its current, which was not really noticeable until trying to swim against it. Well, I couldn't swim back to the boat. It was a bit like being caught in a riptide at an ocean beach. And had my friend Mark not been on the deck paying attention with a lifeline at hand, I think I actually might have drowned. If you want to save a drowning person, you can stand screaming frenzied swimming instructions from the shore. You can throw a rope and hope the person catches it and will be able to hold on. In a worst case scenario, you will kick off your shoes, indeed at times all your outer garments of respectability, and plunge into the water to get the person in your arms and bring them out to safety. And you know, that is what is going on down at the Jordan River. And to be sure, it is a very risky business. Some have known to go down for and with the one they have been trying to save. That's the chance anybody takes with baptism into the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As one writer aptly describes the scene and puts the pieces in place, and I quote, "Jesus, son of Mary, left the sanitary and sane respectability of the synagogue and his family and immersed himself in the muddy waters of the Jordan, visibly advertising thereby his conversion from the religion of the temple to the reality of the traffic of men and things in flesh and blood. With him, in the same bath, were the questionable company of John the Baptist and lawbreakers of all kinds, the refuse and dregs of society. And he plunged into the depth of humanity. And with this descent, a dove descended and the Holy Spirit cleansed the polluted stream of our common life." So it is, in rather dramatic form, this writer portrays the risky business of God's getting involved. It is the risk that those who get involved with Jesus by being baptized into his death and resurrection are also to get involved in the deep struggles of life-saving. And this implies being aware of every aspect of life, throwing a lifeline, diving in, running risks and getting wet, maybe even going down with the one we want to help. Let us always remember, however, that the coming of the dove and the opening of the heavens and the coming of the Spirit is the assurance that in all he does, Jesus has the approval and the authority of God the Father. It is recounted here to give us the same assurance. The saving one who goes into our lives has power, so that no matter how muddy we have made the waters of life, this Christ can actually find us and he can save us. Now, of course, he lets us swim away if that's what we actually want to do. We're not saved against our will. But to those who wonder, how on earth can I make it through the water? There is Jesus, the power of God, ready right there in the water with us to help us and to save us. The event of our Lord's baptism is so important that it is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And now listen to what happens as this amazing beginning to Jesus' ministry is completed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that the Spirit drove him immediately out into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. Isn't there something just a little bit disappointing in that? The beginning of Jesus' ministry is so heroic, so grace-filled and spirit-filled. We expect him to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. But in real life, things don't always work out like that, as many of us have come to realize. We are told quite clearly in the baptismal story that our rescue is a costly business, and that Jesus is ready to pay the price from the outset of his public ministry. His being led out by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness demonstrates that to be our Savior, he is exposed to all the danger we are exposed to. His baptism is his solidarity with us, Emmanuel, God with us. It puts him on the stage with us, with all our weaknesses and disappointments and all our failures. With him at our side, we see life and we approach it with a hope and with an assurance that God loves us, each and every one of us. As St. Augustine says, God loves each of us as if we are the only ones in the world to love. It was to make you and me as human beings truly human that this costly business started at all. And out of it, we too become truly human, truly immersed in life, truly immersed in the divine life, the new creation that God intends us to be. People have tried over and over again to sort out the reason for Jesus being baptized. On one hand, it really makes little sense that the maker of the universe would submit in this way to John's baptism. But I think it is St. Paul who really sorts it out for us. Writing to the church in Corinth, he says this: God has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In other words, Christ was innocent of sin, and yet for our sake, God made him one with the sinfulness of people. When Christ is submitting to John's baptism against John's will, he identifies himself with the human condition of fallen creatures. Paul goes on to say that he has made Christ to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The New English Bible says it this way: so that in him we might be made one with the goodness of God himself. Jesus acts out of love. He gets into the water when his turn comes around. The people who want to take God seriously had already done that. From among them he comes and does it too. God affirms him and his destiny. He sees, he perceives that destination as clearly as a dove descending. We read this story at this time for a very good reason. Epiphany is the time of God's manifestation of himself. And there he is, displaying his full divinity as a human being, completely at one with all humanity in the place where it finds itself to be, in need. And that's where he is to be discovered, in places and events where people are left cold and defenseless and confused and angry and afraid. There he shines through the eyes of human brokenness. The love that will not let us go is insistent on being with us, even in our failure to notice it or our discomfort and guilt at catching sight of it. Because Jesus went into the murky waters of the Jordan River and was raised up by God, so too we can go into any waters the world may provide with the utter assurance that we might evermore dwell in him and he in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.